Hello, and welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Here you can find all our weekly messages. We trust that God will speak to you today. Enjoy the message.
We are going to be in the life of Joseph for the next several Sundays. I trust that you brought your Bible with you. We are Bible people here at this church, in case you're wondering. And if you want, we're going to be at a foundational verse of Psalm 138, verse 8, because we're going to be talking about God's purpose and his plan for our lives. And so I figured we would start in Psalms, and then we're going to be in the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, for the narrative portion of the sermon. But I wanted to give a foundational verse about God's purposes for his people. Psalm 138, 8 says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." At all of our locations, I'd like to read it out loud together. Say this with me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Father, thank you that you will fulfill your purposes for us. Thank you that you're not some idol or statue or vain God that requires from us something that you have not already given for us, which was your Son. Thank you that in addition to salvation, you also give us purpose. Jesus was enough, but in addition to the cross, you also give us a calling, and we are grateful for that. As we lean into the life of Joseph and discover our purpose through the lens of your word, I pray that you would help us all learn and grow. We submit to your word today. It is not my words, but your words. I pray that you would commission me with the spiritual authority to precisely proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Joseph has an unfair advantage in his life. He's loved by his father, he's a dreamer, and he has an unfair advantage. What is an unfair advantage? I'm glad you asked. An unfair advantage is something that you are given that gives you the upper hand on the competition. You have an unfair advantage. As a matter of fact, I was doing some research, and this is what I found out. If you play in the NBA, if you want to play in the NBA, you have a 1 in a million shot of making it. 1 in a million. Now, I'm 5'7", 5'8 on my driver's license because I lied. I have a 1 in a million shot to get into the NBA. But the odds change. If you are over 7 feet tall, you have a 1 in 6 chance. The diminishing odds when you are over 7 feet is unbelievable. My Puerto Rican self has a 1 in 1 million chance. But if you had to duck today to come through the door, if you have a hard time getting into your little Kia or your Yaris, you have an unfair advantage that increases your odds of playing in the NBA. What I found interesting is that you also have an unfair advantage for those who are in Christ. You have something that others do not have. You have God's plans and his purposes and his dreams for your life. You are 7 feet tall in the spirit. You need to understand today that you have an unfair advantage, but sometimes we live in such mediocrity we forget to leverage our spiritual height. So Joseph is from a famous family, like the Kardashians. And his family line starts with Father Abraham. Now, if you've ever been in church, I'm not going to get it stuck in your head. Actually, I'm going to get it stuck in your head. It's my gift from me to you. Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons... All right, we'll stop there. Some of y'all ain't saved, and that's good. We're glad you're here. Fill out a U card. Come to party with the pastor. We'll teach you Father Abraham. I grew up in church, man. 9 months before I was born, I was a member. Abraham receives a promise, and his old age, that son is Isaac. They'll have it on the screen so you can see the family line of what we're talking about today. Isaac has 2 sons that wrestle, Jacob and Esau. And then out of Jacob, one was Jacob and one was Esau. And our story today follows Jacob's line, and Jacob must not have had DirecTV because he has 12 children. When you don't have cable, you got to find something else to do. Come on, somebody. People ask us all the time, how'd you have three kids before you were 23? I said, we refused to have cable. And she kept chasing me around the house. I just couldn't. I just like, stop, settle down. Jacob and Esau, Jacob has Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Do we have 12 tribes? We have 12 sons. Come on, somebody. And Joseph is the 11th of the 12 sons. Because it connects more than the life of Joseph. I'm going to teach you how it connects to the New Testament today. But I want to give you today's title, and that is that God has a plan. Yes. God has a plan. In your life, God has a plan. You are not here made from a factory just going through life at mediocrity. You are not here just kind of going through the motions, waiting on heaven to rapture you up. You are here, and while you're here, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and the fulfillment of that plan and that purpose is important. Genesis 37, we're going to look at Jacob's family line. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17 years old, he was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives. We won't get into the multiple wives things, but one is enough for all of us in here today. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. Regardless of your age today, God's got a great plan for your life. God still sees you. He's reminded of you. He has not forsaken you. And I don't care if you are 10 years younger than God, you have a great purpose and a great plan for your life. So he was born to him in his old age. Joseph was a gift to his father, and he made an ornate robe for him, verse 4. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. I think the background is important because we can sometimes see our lives through the lens of Joseph, and some people will love us. Come on now. Some people will hate us. And sometimes it's those closest to us that hate us the most. He's got relational drama. Can somebody relate? Thanksgiving's coming up. But then something happens that changes everything. He was loved by his father above all the other children. And then look at verse 5. It says, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his dreams to his brothers, they hated him all the more. See, Joseph caught a glimpse of what God had in store for his life. Joseph caught a prophetic picture of God's preferred future for him. And what I've discovered is when you share God's preferred picture of your life to others who are stuck, they tend to project their stuckness onto you. That's why I wrote this in my notes. This is a shouting church right here. People who are stuck in life rarely celebrate when you succeed. You show me your real friends, they will celebrate you when you get that promotion. You show me your real friends, they'll help support you when you start that business. You show me your real friends, they'll be there when you purchase your first home. But people tend to project their lack of progress onto people who are progressing in the presence of God, and they tend to pull them back. I can't tell you how many pastors I talk to about what God is doing at this church, and they scoff. Well, that's just hype. That's just, you know, big screen, skinny jeans, and fog machines. Because they project their church's stuckness onto our church's movement. That's all right. And I don't know about you, but I am looking to surround myself with people who are not threatened by my progress, who are not intimidated by my growth. I'm looking for some people that will celebrate when God does good, that will mourn with those who mourn, that will clap when I'm celebrating, because I'm going to be there for you when you got a big thing in your life. I'm going to be there when you get that house. I'm going to be there when your child needs to be dedicated. I'm going to celebrate you when you get that job. Let us not be the brothers that hated him all the more. If you aren't going where I'm headed, I don't know if I can listen to your opinion. Some of y'all need to stop listening to the opinions of people and you start getting a fresh dream from God. Look at what happens in verse 8. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? For reals? Will you actually rule us? Actually?" They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. They were hating on him for something that actually ends up saving them later on in the story.
Right.
Because they couldn't see the future. Verse 9. Then he had another dream and he told to his brothers, "Listen, I had another dream." It's like, "Joseph, stop telling him about your dreams, dude. Settle down, bro. We know you got the coat, you got your dad's love, and you got dreams. We know you got the whole thing. Just stop telling the wrong people." "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." How do you know if something is of God or not, is from God? It's when you just can't shake it. It's when God comes at you repeatedly and say, "Start that business, start that business, start that business, start that ministry, start that church, step into financial freedom, join a group, get saved, get water back." When God has something for you, he won't stop until he's done. If you can't shake an idea, you need to listen and make sure that it's of God. God keeps giving it to you. God has a plan for your life, and sometimes you just need to decipher what that plan is. And I'm so glad you're here, because I would like to give you four keys about God's plan as it relates to the life of Joseph. Number one is this: God's plan for me is great. There's no mediocrity here in this church. No standardization of God's plan for anyone's life. It is purposeful. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood today. It is not small, it's grand today. I'm not just talking to the 17-year-olds today. I'm talking to the 70-year-olds as well. God's got a great plan for your life. God's plan for greatness. Paul says it this way. I love it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." Before you were ever formed, before you were fashioned together in your mother's womb, God had a specific plan for your life. His plan is great. And he gives us glimpses of it at times and in seasons. At times, we get to see God's great plan for our life in photo form. I love this box because it shows me God's great plan. Aren't you grateful for God's great plan in your life? There are times in worship where I can worship and I can see God's great plan for this church. There are times when I drive by the soccer field at our East Campus and I can see God's great plan for our church. But the thing about God's plan is that it doesn't come prepackaged. God's plan actually comes in pieces. So many of you want God's plan, but you're not willing to go through the process of the pieces that God has for you. Oh, God has a plan, but it comes in pieces. Many of you have been praying for God's plan in your life, but it comes in the form of pieces. I'm preaching now. Many of you are wondering, what's God's plan for me? I got a prophetic picture, but do you have the pieces that it takes for God's plan to come to pass? God's plan is in pieces. Ooh, glad I wore shoes today. God's plan shows up in pictures, but it actually gets assembled in pieces. I don't know about you, but the work that it takes for us to do God's plan is sometimes our responsibility. God's not going to send you a spouse unless you get your hair cut and wear some deodorant. Oh, God, just send me a spouse. You better get yourself put together. You need to understand that if only, and some of you are like asking God for his plan, and like, if only I just knew how to assemble, if there was only a book that taught me God's plan for my life, if there was only a manual that would show me how to assemble what I've seen, if only I had a guide, if only I had a book. This is why we need God, because we can't get without the plan. Some of you are looking at God's plan for your life right now and you feel like it's not great. Well, I just want to let you know that if it isn't great, God isn't done. It's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. He is not done with you yet. Get your head to the hills. Where does your help come from? His plan for you is great. It looks like it's in pieces. It looks chaotic right now. It looks confusing right now. What am I going to do? And God has already given you a picture of what it will be. His plan for your healing is great. His plan for your family is great. His plan for your children is great. His plan for your career is great. His plan for your finances is great. It looks like it's in pieces, but I want to let you know, God has already gone to the future. He's already seen the end of your story. He's already been to the end of what it looks like. And I want to let you know, you, my friend, you got a promising God that has great plans for you. See, God's great goal for your life isn't fame, it's fruit. It's not fame, it's fruit. You need to actually begin to work on the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Well, what's God's plan for my life? Well, number one, it's not for you to be so angry all the time. I don't need to pray and fast about having the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I don't need to seek God's will to be a Bible-believing, Bible-professing, Spirit-filled Christian. It's interesting because you want impact and you want legacy, but you're not willing to change some of the things in your life. The world makes it all about us. It makes it all about the likes and the comments and the views and the subscriptions. But I want to let you know, it is not about fame here at this church. It is about fruit. That's why we do groups. Groups don't make you famous. They make you fruitful. Let's get back to Joseph's life. Verse 10. I need you to read this verse. Verse 10. It says, he told his father about his dream as well and his brothers, and they all celebrated him. And they said, how can we help you make this dream a reality? Wait, how can we help you make this dream a reality? Wait a second. That verse isn't in the Bible. I told the team, I said, I want to make it very clear that I'm not reading from Scripture, so please just put the basic words that verse is not in the Bible. Here's what happens in verse 10. The real verse 10 says this. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Jump with me to verse 18. But they saw him at a distance. When everything gets crazy, before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. And this is what it says in verse 19. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other, which sets off multiple events of unfair scenarios that had he not gone through some of these unfair events, he would not have been in the position to deliver the promise that he gets at the age of 17. See, God's plan for you is great. Number two, God's plan for me includes pain. It includes pain. It ain't lollipops and roses here at this church. There is a theology of suffering that we go through. In order to receive the glory of Christ, you must also be buried with Christ through baptism, and that is sufferings. We don't like this. But I have to tell you this, that in order for you to have the promises of God, you need to understand there will be pain here on this earth. John 16, 33 says this, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's why I can praise during my pain. I can have peace during my pain because I serve a God who sent Jesus to overcome the world. Pain comes in all shapes and sizes. Many of you, if you look down your row today, there would be a long list of different types of pain, different types of heartache, different types of suffering. But let me just list to you Joseph's unfair scenarios. He could have quit during any of these. He had rejection from his brothers. Have you ever been rejected before? He was sold into slavery. Have you ever been betrayed before? He was overworked and underpaid. Come on, somebody. He was wrongfully accused. He was thrown into prison and he was forgotten for years. These are unfair scenarios that are in his life that had he not gone through them, he would have never been in position to redeem the same family that hated him. Right. Your pain is also real. You might have lost a loved one. You might have rejection in a relationship. You might have abuse in your past. You might have sickness in your body today. You might struggle with a boss that is too demanding. Whatever your pain is today, God has a purpose for your pain. God has two solutions for pain. He can either solve it or he can spin it. I'm preaching now. God has two solutions for pain. That's why at the end of his story, Joseph can say in Genesis 50, 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is being done now, the saving of many lives. The reason for your pain is so that God can fulfill the picture, the prophetic glimpse he gave Joseph at the age of 17. I want you to hear this with clarity. Today, God doesn't cause your pain, but he does use it for a greater purpose. Some of you would say, well, my life's just unfair. Allow that unfair advantage to be changed into purpose. It's the pain that purifies us. It's the rejection that makes us righteous. It's the struggle that makes us significant. God has a plan. His plan is great, and his plan many times involves pain. Here's the third one. You ready? God's plan for me takes time. Whew. Some of y'all want that 15-second will of God. You want that Instapot will of God. You want McDonald's drive-through will of God. You want it your way right now. Why is this taking so long? I was thinking about once I was flying back from the West Coast and my flight was delayed by like 15 minutes and I was kind of frustrated. 15 minutes, I was mad. I was mad that it was delayed by 15 minutes. I'm going across the country when most of the time it took people a year to do this, and they half of them died on the Oregon Trail. When I was growing up on the computer game, half of them died. And here I was complaining about something that was taking a little bit longer that used to take a whole 6 months to a year. I don't know about you, but normally, when I get God's will fast, it doesn't last. If it's fast, it's not fruit. If it's fast, it doesn't last. We like things fast, and here's the deal. Over long periods of time, God's will over our time horizon tends to be more clear. I'm so glad God didn't give me you when I was 24 years old and we started this church. I couldn't handle it. You understand what I'm saying? When we were pulling up some old clips for our celebration service last week, or the week before last, HBD 11, I was looking at some old sermons. You need to understand. I'm so glad you weren't here. I'm so glad that you weren't here when I preached over a decade ago. It was ugly. I told the team, I want you to erase that from the internet. I said, call a PR firm that scrubs things off the internet for politicians, and I want you to scrub these sermons off the internet because this is bad preaching. I don't even believe some of the things I preached 10 years ago. I'm glad God didn't give it to me fast. It's a process of maturity. Some of you, you couldn't handle the house God wants to give you because you can't clean your apartment right now. Some of you, you couldn't handle the spouse God wants to give you because you can't be a gentleman right now. Am I preaching to anybody today? You need to understand that God, things take time. Here's the timeline of Joseph's life very quickly. He was born to Jacob at 0 years old. He was the 11th son. And at the age of 17, he had a dream and he was sold into slavery. At the age of 20, he was thrown into prison. At the age of 28, he interprets the dream for Pharaoh's officials, one of them being a cupbearer. And at the age of 30, he stands before Pharaoh and he becomes second in command. Remember, he got the dream at 17. He becomes second in command at 30. At 37, famine starts. And at 40, or around the age of 40, he faces his family for the first time since they denied him, since they rejected him, since they threw him in the pit, since they sold him to slavery. So from 17 to 40, he's wandering in the wilderness. He's wandering through life. He's going through the prison. He's going through the pit. He's going through the palace. And then at the age of 110, he dies. And so 13 years of pain, and then 10 years of work, and the story finally turns around to where he sees fruit. And some of you are mad at God because he didn't do something in your life in 10 minutes. You need to understand that there are some things that God is waiting on so that you can mature spiritually, so that you can handle the magnitude of the influence that God wants to put on your life. You can't pray for God to double your business when you don't even can't handle the business you got. This is what I wrote in my notes. It's harsh, but I'll end it. I'll end the sermon nice. If your dream isn't in its mature state, it's probably because you aren't either. Let God work some stuff out in your life. Let him take you through a process. Let him correct you and submit to God. Submit to God. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's going to take some time. Hold on. Be faithful. It looks like this right now, but it can look like that should you remain faithful. We sang about this morning, but trusting God means trusting his timeline. All right, the piano player can return. I have 34 seconds. Number four, this is what you need to realize. God's plan for me isn't about me.
Amen. Come on.
It's called exegesis when you dissect the scripture and you preach it properly. It's called eisegesis when you make every scripture about you. You are not Joseph.
Come on.
You're not. I'm not Joseph either. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. The one we betrayed. The one we denied. The one we tried to kill. The one who we sold. The one who our sins separated us from. You aren't Joseph, my friend. Jesus. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. But he meets a distraught cupbearer. And he says, it will take 3 days. I'm preaching. Help me, Jesus. He meets a cupbearer in prison. And he says, it will take 3 days and you will be released. Some of you are imprisoned in your own sin, and I want to let you know our God sent his son Jesus, who was in prison for 3 days, but then because of the blood that was shed on the cross, we too were released. You aren't Joseph, but you are the cupbearer. Here's what happens. The cupbearer gets released, but he forgets the whole reason why he gets released, and it was to tell everyone about Joseph. Some of you have forgotten the reason God set you free.
Come on.
The story was about Jesus from the beginning. He would be the one that was rejected. He would be the one that would raise up and save many lives. But here's what you need to know. Let us not forget about what Jesus did for us.
Yes.
His plan for you isn't really about you.
That's right.
It's about Jesus. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 43:6 says this, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for what? My glory. Who I formed and made.
Yes.
We were created by God for God.
Amen.
You're not here on this earth for your success. You are here for the glory of God. I'm not here to get Instagram likes and followers. I'm not here to be a television preacher. I am here to be wrung out so that the glory of God might be reflected. My life is devoted to the glory of God, not the glory of man. And many of you have made so many stories about yourself. And it's time to make your story about Jesus and watch what happens. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So the ultimate question, I end with this question today, is are you submitted to God's plan? Are you working your plan? Or are you submitted to God's plan? I hired a fitness coach recently. As you can tell, it's really working good. He said, just follow this plan. Sent me a PDF, downloaded an app, logged in. He said, just follow this plan. He's like, all you have to do is just put in this app every morsel of food that goes into your body. No. And it's easy the first day. You know, you go out and get things that you'll never eat, like kale. Who the heck eats kale? I rebuke that. I'd rather die early. God's plan for me is to die early. Just kidding. That's just a joke. You got to submit to the plan. I can't blame him if I didn't stick to the plan. It's not his fault. It's on me for not submitting to the plan. Many of you, you want God's perfect picture for your life, but you haven't submitted to the plan. And your life is in pieces. Your life is a mess. Your life is not reflective of the glory of God. And I just want to let you know that in order to get this, you got to follow the plan. I could build other things that I want to build. I could build whatever I want to build. But if I want this, I got to follow the plan. Many of you are living lives for yourselves, on your own, and it's time to submit to God's plan for your life. My prayer for you is that you would learn to submit to God's plan. And part of that plan is getting into biblical community by joining a group. Part of that plan is saying yes to Jesus. Part of that plan is getting integrated into the life of a church. Part of that plan is saying no to sin and yes to holiness. Part of that plan is saying yes to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've never been saved today. So at all of our locations, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to give you a very brief opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. No one moving, no one leaving at all of our locations. You say, I want to submit my life to God today. I'm far from him, but I know he has a plan because I felt it in my heart today as you were preaching. I don't have to know your story, but your life can reflect the story of God. Should you surrender to Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Savior and Lord? If you are ready to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I'm going to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to make one bold move, and that is to raise your hand. In just a second, when I say three, you're saying, I'm not saved. I need to surrender my life to God. I need to submit my life to the plans of God. I've been doing things on my own, but I need to do them God's way. If you are ready to live your life God's way today, at all of our locations, you're ready to surrender and submit to the plans of God. You need to be bold right here. This is your moment right now. One, get ready to raise your hand right now. Don't hesitate. Two, if that's you today, you say, I need Jesus. I need to surrender my life to Jesus at all of our locations right now. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up in the air. I'm ready to submit my life to God. Hold it up. Hold it up high. Shoot it up high. Shoot it up high. Hands all over the place at all of our locations. Shoot it up. Shoot it up and hold it up. Shoot it up and hold it up. Someone's bringing a little card to your hand right now. Shoot it up and hold it up. Praise God for salvation. Praise God. You are making the right decision today, acknowledging Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hands all over the place. Thank you, Lord. I want everyone to repeat after me. Everyone at the sound of my voice to say this prayer. Even if you are already saved, this is just to help those who are going to memorialize this moment as the day they recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Say, Father God, I give my life to you. I repent of my sins and I turn from my ways. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. I surrender. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you were handed one of these white cards. I would encourage you to fill this card out. Take it to our Life Change Starts Here banner at all of our locations. We want to walk this out with you so that you cannot have to do this journey by yourself. You had to make that decision for yourself, but you don't have to live for Jesus by yourself today. And we are so excited. Let's clap our hands for all of those who just made that decision for Christ. Come on, you can do better than that. Heaven is populated today.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of many people just like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now and share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.